أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس واتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء. واتقوا الله الذي تسألون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. With the name Allah, in the name of God, most gracious, most compassionate, we give open and sound testimony that there is no God but one, and that is Allah and Allah alone. We give open and sound testimony that Muhammad the Prophet, the prayers and peace of Allah be upon him, is the messenger of Allah. We, O Muslims, ask Allah's blessings and peace be upon his noble and generous Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace of Allah be upon him, upon his family, and upon his companions, Amabad, and all the good that follows thereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, and I remind you, and I remind myself, O mankind, reverence your guardian Lord, who created you from a single person, who created of like nature his mate, and from them twain scattered like seeds countless men and women. Reverence God, through whom you demand your mutual rights, and reverence the wombs that bore you, for Allah ever watches over you. Dear Muslims, followers in Islam, members of the family of human beings on this planet, favored and chosen by the Creator of the heavens and the earth to follow the way of submission, the way of Al-Islam. Let us remember Allah, through whom we demand our mutual rights. When we forget Allah, we forget the rights that we have coming, and we forget the rights that others have on us. And Allah reminds us to remember Him, reverence Him, not just remember, but reverence. To be conscious, that is to be aware, and to be conscientious, that is to be actively pursuing His favor. To be actively engaged in those activities, whether they are physical, spiritual, mental, intellectual, economic, scientific, or pure relationships between two people. Remember God, reverence Him, think about Him, consider what is required of us towards Him. And I know that we all fall short. And thank God for His mercy. His mercy. We all fall short. But remember God constantly. That is a part of patience. The highest form of patience is to adhere to what has been required. To adhere to what has been required. So, dear Muslims, we remember Allah as He describes Himself. We come to prayer to remind ourselves and to be obedient to Him. We make no partners with Him, no associations. We do not hold ourselves as examples. We do not hold ourselves above the laws of Islam We remember Allah with reverence, with appreciation, with respect, with concern, and with love. You remember your mother, if you have any sense at all, and you remember her with reverence, with love, with respect, and fear. The biggest man I know, if he has any sense at all, will fear his mother to the day that he dies or the day that she dies. He won't fear her like he fear another man, by no stretch of the imagination, because he knows that he can use his brute strength against another man and perhaps crush him under his brute strength. But he remembers his mother, and if he has any sense at all, he also remembers his father with a reverence, an appreciation, and a respect. And even though his mother or his father may be old and infirm, weak and incapable of striking any blow that would make any significance to his person, but yet there is a fear, yet there is a reverence, yet there is a respect that reaches something beyond the physical self and goes into the deepest recesses of the soul, that reminds you, that cautions you, that warns you that you are never to raise your hand, and God says not even your voice, to your mother. That is reverence. That is the reverence that we have for Allah, though Allah is greater than us and our mother. Allah can crush us, do away with us, dispense with us in the twinkling of an eye. He has power over everything. But yet the relationship that he asks of us is a loving relationship. It is a reverent relationship. It is an awareness and a remembrance akin to the awareness that we have for our mothers. God reminds us to reverence him, remember him, because it is through him that we are guaranteed our rights, guaranteed our rights of survival, our rights of productivity, our safeguards in this life, and our safeguards in the life hereafter. You love mom, so you would do nothing that would keep her disfavored with you. None of us would do that, if we have any sense at all. We would not do that. We would not do things even in front of her. We may do things out of her sight, but when are we out of Allah's sight? Never. We may say things out of her hearing, but when are we out of Allah's hearing? Never. And those things that we say, we know may not please her, so we won't say them in front of her. We won't do them in front of her. We keep everything in front of her pleasing to her, because we don't want to feel the weight of her displeasure. We don't want to walk out of the house and know that she is upset with us. Even though we say by the beating of our chest that we are men, grown men, capable of managing the world, but yet mother has the power that causes us to humble ourselves and give her every consideration, because we don't want to feel not her strap but her displeasure, and we don't want to feel Allah's displeasure, and we don't want to feel Allah's strap either, because Allah has a strap and we don't want to feel it, but we want his pleasure. So Allah tells us to remember him, reverence him, think about him, be mindful of him, be considerate of his presence in all of our dealings. And through that, we are guaranteed our mutual rights. Allah says of himself in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو علموا الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتقدير. Allah says, He, Allah is He, in whom there is no other God, who knows all things, both secret and open. He, most gracious, most merciful. Allah is He, than whom there is no other God, the Sovereign, the Holy One, the source of peace and perfection, the guardian of faith, the preserver of safety, the mighty, the irresistible, the supreme. We remind ourselves constantly. I'm not saying anything that you haven't heard before. I'm not saying anything new. I remind you and I remind myself. The guardian of faith. Our faith, dear Muslims, need to be guarded. It needs to be guarded. And we need safety. Allah says that He is the preserver of safety. He preserves the safety. Who among us can protect himself or herself and sleep at the same time? Who among us can protect ourselves, can guarantee our safety, and can guarantee that we won't be harmed by each other? Allah says that it is He who put the love between us. We were enemies to each other, and He made us like brothers. It is Allah who preserves our safety. So we remind ourselves at the Jumu'ah. If we get nothing else out of the Jumu'ah, it is more important that we understand the Quran, that we hear the words of Allah. That is the most important, and that we are reminded, and we remind ourselves, and we refocus ourselves, we recenter ourselves, and take a moment, maybe 30 minutes out of a whole week, to come together like on a pilgrimage, a Hajj. We come back to the remembrance of Allah in mass, in mass. Every week I hear the Amir saying, come out to prayer, come out to success. I hear it every week. I come here sometimes at night, and it's two or three, sometimes one. But nonetheless, someone's coming out to prayer and someone's coming out to success. But we come on Friday, we all come out to prayer. We all come out to success. We recognize that this is an obligation, and that there is a reward, and that there is a relief, and that there is fulfillment, and there is opportunity, and there is possibility. So we come out. It bothers our souls not to come to the Jumu'ah. It should also bother our souls not to come to Salat in the masjid when we can, and if we can. It should bother our souls. Because as we have rights, God have rights. As we have rights, the house of worship have rights. Yes. So God is the preserver of rights and safety. He is exalted in might, irresistible and supreme. So dear Muslims, believers, brothers and sisters, I remind you again, and I remind myself, to be mindful, to be conscious, to be God conscious, taqwa, to have God consciousness. And that is in everything that we do. And when we err and make a mistake, don't be arrogant and proud and try to whitewash it over with customs and traditions and excuses and things of this nature. There is no better relief than to admit that you are wrong about something and have it removed. Allah loves the believer to come to Him for mercy. He does. He loves it. He speaks of it throughout the Quran. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks of it constantly, that Allah loves to extend mercy to the believer. He loves that. And He looks unfavorably upon those who are too proud to submit and to come to Him and ask for mercy. That's quite a position to take. Yes, I'm wrong. So what? We deprived ourselves. We're depriving ourselves. That's called self-oppression. You're wrong, you're wrong. You admit it. You make a mistake. Now, human beings may never forgive you, but that's on them. Because as long as they don't forgive you, well, guess what? They've got something to work through, so they're depriving themselves. A human being may never forgive you. But God, on the other hand, He promises forgiveness. He has absolute authority, total and unique control over His mercy. He gave that control to no one. Not even His prophets have that kind of control. No one has control over Allah's mercy except Him. And we may line up people from here to Jordan and give each one of them their individual ticket to go to hell. And God may have other plans. That's why we have to be careful who we send to hell, because we may get the letter in return with our name on it, because we don't have that kind of power. We only have the power to hear and to obey and to do as God has asked us to do and to live the kind of life, not a perfect life. There's not a Muslim in the world that can live a perfect life. Not one of us. It's impossible. There's only one that is perfect, and that is Allah and Allah alone, free of mistakes, never errors, never rests, free of mistakes. He's the only one. The rest of us, we have been blessed with the opportunity to make mistakes. Isn't that wonderful? Because for every mistake, there has got to be some forgiveness and reward. The reward is the forgiveness and a chance to start over again, a chance to get it right, a chance for growth and development, a chance for awareness. If you make a mistake, that's an intellectual process. You're growing intellectually when you make a mistake. You've done something and you've come to a rational conclusion, or someone bring you to a rational conclusion that you erred. Now, you may want to go back and check your facts. You may not admit to it right away. Check your facts. But then when you realize that, yes, that's correct, I did make a mistake, that's an enlightenment, an awareness. That's almost like a revelation coming to you, because now you know something that you didn't know. Now you see clearer than you saw before. Maybe you wasn't seeing clear at all before, and now you see clear. What a blessing. What a mercy from God to not keep us fixed in all the things that we do, but allow us to make mistakes, correct those mistakes, and grow on. I didn't say go on. I said grow on to the next one until the day that we face Him. And then He rewards us not based on the accomplishments that we have made, but the intentions, and through His mercy. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Hu Allahu al-Qaliqu al-Bariyu al-Musawwiru lahu al-Asma'ul Husna yusabbihu Allah yusabbihu Allahu ma fi as-samawati wal ard wa huwa azizu al-Hakim. He is Allah, the creator, the evolver, the bestower of forms or colors. To Him belong the most beautiful names. Whatever is in the heavens and on earth do declare His praise and glory. And He is the exalted in might, the wise. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Wassalatu wassalamu ala karil musaleen Muhammad al-Nabi ummi wa la alihi wa sabbihi ajma'in amabad. Transliteration. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of the universe. May the greeting and the peace of Allah be upon the best messenger, the unlettered prophet, and upon his family, and upon his companions, and all the good that follows. Ameen. Dear believers, Muslims, we live in a community, and our community is bigger than our neighborhood. Our community is bigger than our neighborhood. And within the community, we are a community. We are a community of Muslims. And like others, of good sense, sound thinking, and faith, we know that we have neighbors, and that it is important that we have relationships with our neighbors that favor our peaceful coexistence with each other. Even the animals in the wild understand boundaries and the need to have order in their neighborhoods and in their communities. They know which ones to be around and which ones not to be around. They know that there are some animals who by nature will eat the other animal. So they try to avoid upsetting that neighbor, and they try to stay out of that neighbor's way. We have neighbors. We are a people who not only have neighbors in our community, within the community of man, but we have been given some injunctions by the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as to how we are to treat our neighbors. And the injunctions that we have been given, or the rules, laws, and regulations that we have been given as to how we are to treat our neighbors, are directly related and connected to the profession that we make, that we are Muslims who are practicing Islam. And the root of Islam is peace. And the way that we are ordered to treat our neighbors is directly connected to establishing peace in our neighborhoods, in our communities, and ultimately globally. Now, we know and understand that when we talk about global peace and global recognition of the human species between itself, there's a lot that needs to be done in the neighborhood in general. But here we are in this city, in this town, in this mosque. And Allah says in one surah in the Quran, I believe it's Al-Mutathir, He says that the earth was created for us, for the living, and the earth is created for the dead. That He created the earth for the living and the dead. Both of us occupy this earth. Those who are living, we walk on this earth. Those who are dead, we lay in this earth. And all of us will get a chance to do both. No doubt about it. If you're walking on it, the day will come, you'll get your opportunity to reside in it, inshallah. And then Allah says you will be raised up out of it. And that's a surety. There's no argument there. We have plenty of proof. We don't even need faith to accept that. We have plenty of proof, inshallah, that we will do that. The dead have rights, and the living have rights. The dead have the right to be buried according to their beliefs. In our religion, Islam, we have our protocols, we have our practices, we have our methodologies, and we follow that. Because we follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who instructed us on how to live and how to die, and what is to be done when we die. And we know that our dead folk have the right to have us come and visit them sometimes, to come and visit the grave. And in that visiting of the grave, there's a dual benefit. The prayers are offered for those who are in the grave, and the reminder is given to those who are on their way to claim their real estate. So we have a benefit. The problem is not with the dead, between the dead and the living. The biggest problem is between the living and the living, who want to see each other dead. That's a big problem between neighbors. We want to see each other dead. Some of us. Allah's Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, informed us that it is important that we be mindful of our neighbors, all of them. He didn't say that we be mindful of our Muslim neighbors, or our Jewish neighbors, or our Christian neighbors, one to the other, only getting along within those small circles. Simply says the neighbor who has rights, and the rights of the neighbor. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam feared that, or thought that, Allah was going to give the neighbor the rights of inheritance. It was so much emphasis placed on looking out for and being concerned about and being mindful of the rights of the neighbor. And I would like to share with you in concluding this khutbah, hopefully in the next 10 minutes, the hadith and the sayings of the Prophet himself as regards to the neighbors. Now, we have neighbors all across the earth because our community is the community of mankind. And I have been challenged personally by my fellow brother Muslims about using the phrase humanity as though we are something else other than humanity. I have been challenged by my fellow Muslims personally because I'm supposed to, according to a certain point of view, not have too much concern about humanity, but only about Muslims. But now, you know, I'm getting a little older, and perhaps my thinking is slowing down, so I stand to be corrected. And you can correct me after Jumu'ah, because it wouldn't be proper to do it during Jumu'ah. And you have about a few minutes right after Jumu'ah before I have to go. But if you love the Creator of everything, if you love the Creator of everything and you recognize Him as such, the Creator of everything, shouldn't you have some concern, some appreciation for, some empathy for those things that the Creator have created along with you? If you have a family and there are brothers and sisters in that family, mother and father, blood relationships, shouldn't there be some relationship or concern or love or even appreciation for the other members of the family? Regardless of your specific path that you take in life, how can we say we love God? And we love Him with such love and reverence because we appreciate and respect what He has given to us in the special form that it was given to us, to the special person that it was given to us, and with the special rights that we have to go along with what was given to us. How can we say we love this God so much, but yet only wish heaven for ourselves? Only wish the best for ourselves. And even if we know that the behavior and attitudes and conduct of others may be leading them towards destruction, should we be cheering it on, or should we be saying, oh, please come back? Should we not have a concern for people, is what I'm trying to say? Should our rally be, we are going to heaven and you're going to hell? Or should our rally be, please turn around, my heart is breaking because I see you going to hell? Shouldn't our rally cry be, we have to do everything that we can to present ourselves in the best way, to represent what we have from the God that we love in the best way, that will perhaps cause others to look at it favorably and come with us, and at least alter their lifestyles so that they can benefit from the mercy of the Creator? Shouldn't that be our clarion call? Or should our clarion call be, we got it, and you're going to get it? Just think about that. For our neighbor, the one that God says have so many rights, the neighbor, the one that God says, that the prophet, peace be upon him, said that he was concerned that God was going to give the neighbor even the rights of inheritance. He put so much emphasis on that. And who is your neighbor? The earth was created for the living and for the dead. Well, the dead will take care of itself. What about the living? How can we see the things that take place in the world and have no sensitivity towards it? And even when we see things that are catastrophic, earthquakes, storms, catastrophic loss of life, when we see these things happening, should it not put a fear in our hearts and a concern in our hearts?
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
You've been listening to An Islamic Point of View, today featuring a lecture from Imam Mikhail Hamid Shabazz. For further information on the community of Al-Islam here in the Northeast, please contact the Muslim Community Center at 3801 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, or call at 503-281-7691. Thank you for listening, and now stay tuned for Pathways.